What's up? Welcome, Beast Place. October 22nd, 2020. About a week from Halloween. How about them apples? You know, it's funny because I very rarely have had trick-or-treaters come to my house. I've lived in apartment complexes. When I was of trick-or-treating age, which is pretty much, little kids do it with their parents. I don't remember trick-or-treating until I was in second grade. Before that, my parents may not have done it, whatever. In first grade, in kindergarten, I lived in a rural place that trick-or-treating would have meant there were like maybe 10 total houses I could have possibly gone to. You're talking about minimum 1 acre lots. Weren't close together. Like further apart than Richie Rich neighborhoods. Like if you drive through like a suburban Richie Rich neighborhood, you had big houses kind of with the spaced apart ones. It's like it was worse than that as far as spacing goes. And I didn't think of it. But second grade, all these friends, trick-or-treating, walking to school. That's when it starts. And it was awesome. I loved pretty much the fall is, I would say, the most active and fun time. Because if we include near winter, which is Christmas, in this, you got Halloween, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, all rapid fire. So it like breaks it up. But one of the worst things to me about the I always think of things like, so when I say these things, it might sound weird. I always think of things still in the form of a school year. To me, the year begins in September. And September through December is one major block of year, or a third of the year, even though it's not. January through May, roughly, is another segment. And then June, July, and August are another segment. That would be summer. Summer technically goes from June 21st to September 21st. I think September 22nd through December 31st is fall and so on. So, you know, I consider spring beginning in March. It really doesn't start till late March, early April, right? Some of that comes from the fact that I did a lot of growing up in Maryland, and Maryland's warmish. It's very mild in both directions. It doesn't get too terribly hot too often, but it also doesn't get too terribly cold. It's really nice. I mean, it's still swamp, and you don't realize it because you live in the swamp. It smells, okay? And like rotting vegetables. When I came back from my second deployment, we've been in the deserts and we've been in the sea. We had not stopped anywhere non-arid for 7 months. We went to southern Spain, southern Greece, Israel, East Africa, Middle East, Jordan, Greece, home. Flying the aircraft back from a couple miles offshore, about probably 3 to 5 miles offshore, all of a sudden it hits. This humid smell. And I realized, like, oh. Because to me, California smelled sweet. Like, super sweet. Anyway. The fall breaks it up. You know? And you have beginning of the year. There's a lot of excitement. And even in college. Everything's new. There's new possibilities. There's new openings. It's like, you can be hopeful. Things haven't set in their ways. And one of the things that sucks about college, because the semesters are relatively short, you know, it goes from like, say, somewhere roughly beginning of September, end of August, to about halfway through, let's say, like, I always have in my mind December 15th and May 15th as like the last days of my finals. For me, I don't know, every school is different. And then there's like a long winter break. University of Maryland started doing that after my first year. Because at first it was like you got 2 weeks in December, like 1 or 2 weeks in January, maybe a week. No, almost all of January. Because they had a winter class. Anyway, and then February through May, right? It's February, March, April, part of May. It's like 3 months, like a quarter. You're really only spending about two and a third quarters in not really. And it breaks it up such that, like, it was, I found it, for me, a little bit harder to make proper relationships because you were, like, so segmented. And you think about, like, a high school, middle school year, you're in it from this beginning period where people are kind of looking for friends and stuff. So there's, like, it's not like you're walking into a continuous process, where the difference there with, when you walk into a continuous process, it's hard to make friends because you're entering into something that's just going. There's no beginning. There's no end. The school has a beginning and end, but it's very long without really a lot of long breaks in between. And you're able to make a connection. You're going to behold it. You make a connection in college. I found that I would make a connection and not be able to sustain it. But anyway, but I view the world in those chunks. It's like elementary school through the K through 12 rhythm. You know, it's funny, but I've never stopped seeing the world that way. I still break it up in my head that way. And that fall period, you had the early period of fall, you know, when high school turns into like homecoming, which is great because it's easy to ask girls out, makes it like a good excuse. You know, I don't know why I was always weird about that. I really shouldn't have been. Anyway, and neither should you. But then, like, the holiday season starts with Thanksgiving. And in elementary school, it was like they spent a whole week doing stuff. You know, we had, like, you put up the decorations starting in, like, the first, maybe mid-October. You start doing Halloween-themed stuff. And then Halloween hits. There's a parade. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, in middle school, didn't have any of this stuff, which sucks. It had the simultaneous, it was just school. Like, our middle school, as far as I remember, and please correct me if I'm wrong, didn't have, like, the elementary school I had, again, you had, like, all this stuff going on with Halloween, we had a parade, we had these weird, like, fairs we had all the time. During Christmas, there was a bunch of show. Like, there were a lot of days where you weren't really going to class. The Christmas show, you were going to the Christmas sort of, they brought a shopping thing for you so you could buy stuff for your parents, stuff like that. Like, it's, middle school didn't have that. Neither does high school. What high school has is the homecoming sort of buildup that starts like the third week of school. There was so much stuff that goes on with it that it's not like you can even wait till the week before. There's a wall that has to be painted. There's floats that are created. There's courts to be. There was so much going on with it that there's this whole thing leading up to homecoming, which is roughly about Halloween, right? And then there's a build up Thanksgiving, and then, you know, Christmas holidays. And as a high school kid, you really, those things start to, I don't know, meant more. Because it meant I could drink more often. And then the winter, it was like this big, 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 big letdown from January through February. It's just cold, no sports. It's just not ever. But I remember trick-or-treating as a kid. I lived in a section of the city that basically looked like a suburb. It would look like a forest, but it was part of the city. And what does that mean? What's the difference? Okay, sidewalks. There was a lot of area not contained by major roads. So when I was a little kid, I was scared to cross some big roads. Not that I would never do it. I did. And it's not like I avoided it if I really wanted to go somewhere. But generally speaking, I would just stay within these boundaries that I made up myself. They existed only in my head. And only when really convenient. And it's kind of weird because I thought of my territory as a certain area encompassed by where I actually went, which was pretty much to and from school. So trick-or-treating meant that I went past the school. So I would trick-or-treat basically the route I walked to school, which meant those people shouldn't have been giving me any candy. Considering I probably messed with No, not really. I take it back. I was going to say, like, I vent. Nah. Sometimes we'd look through people's trash, but I don't know if that's really going to make you mad. Anyway, we got, there was definitely a couple of, like, full-blown haunted house type places. We'd walk in and they'd, like, roped off different areas and they just went crazy. People really, like, went out with this stuff. And it's fun now because I'm hoping to redo it. My kid just got his costume. He's going to be a skeleton pterodactyl. I'm hoping that, you know, we can... I'm hoping that... I think around where I live, we're going to have it. There's a pretty... We live in a section... Our neighborhood is mostly townhomes. And then there's a couple single-family homes... kind of at the bottom of the hill, which is usually the opposite of... But we live next door to a couple of... We can walk the kids to a couple of big sort of Valley Mead, if you will, like typical, all you know, upper middle, lower upper class suburbs or neighborhoods, because there's no suburbs here. It's just... But yeah, so... And I do kind of, it was fun, and you'd sit there and eat all the candy, and that was great. It was always, like, cool to get the different candies, and everyone's always talking about, like, the full-size Snickers bar. I have to say, best candies for me were really, I love Tootsie Rolls, and then weird stuff. Like, you know, a bunch of people would just go out and get a giant bag of Milky Ways and those kind of things, but... To me, there was always someone that went out and got strange candy, like, and gum. I'm trying to think, like, just things were more exotic. Nerds. Things that I can't eat now. Like, my kid's gone to a couple birthday parties at pinatas. He came home with all this candy. I'm like, ooh, candy. And I'll have, like, one bite of Sour Patch Kids, and I'm like, done. Dunsky a la Dunsky. What else about that, particularly with the candy, that really got me was volume. I remember being a kid, like, you got to watch out for razor blades. And there was some, like, I always had some trepidation about, you know, if it was homemade, it went in the trash, which was crazy because some of these older people, and there was, like, a lot of older people. Like, I grew up in this blue-collar neighborhood, not really rich, not really poor. A lot of, this is, you know, when I'm in the prime of trick-or-treating by yourself, for me was second grade to sixth grade. I would say that even sixth grade, we're like, we still did it. And there was a couple of older kids. I think mostly what they did after that was they just hung out. Because that's what happened with me. Like, Halloween went from being, I'm going trick-or-treating to, I'm going to go hang out with my friends, and we're just sort of going to hang out. We're not going to really walk around and trick-or-treat. We're just going to be about. You know, ninth grade is probably the apogee of that, where, like, things went real, real haywire. We were just hanging out, right? Trick-or-treating is happening. We're in, again, this place called Valley Mead, where I grew up, like, section of town. Nice, it's super nice, like, the upper-middle-class neighborhood. And... we are, actually, they were almost all like that. So, anyway, it's the one I remember. It's the older one, actually, is the big difference. So, it was already tree-lined, whereas some of the other neighborhoods, they were probably more expensive houses. The trees hadn't grown up yet. Anyway, whatever. So, we're out there. And, again, like, ninth grade was, we went out and trick-or-treated in the area, but it was more like... we're just hanging out. I stopped wearing costumes. My friend Danny dressed up as Alex, or I don't remember which one, but he dressed up as one of the droogs from A Clockwork Orange. Him and three, like, so this kid, I'm still friends with this guy. To this day, we met freshman year. He was like super cool guy. He was one of those, like, freshmen that hung out with, like, seniors and dated, like, junior chicks. He was really tall. He was really good looking. He's really charming and well-spoken. And adventurous and kind of fearless, you know? One of his stories was him and this dude when he was out of college. were at a bar. And they were kind of fighting over a chick. Not like they're both hitting on the same chick, and he realized that like he was losing. This guy was richer, and she was kind of falling for this like stockbroker kind of thing, this vibe, this guy, whatever it was. So he took off his shirt. He jumped up on the bar and challenged this guy to like a duel, like in a funny way, like not trying to fight him. But that scared this dude. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like if he had that attitude, it works. And it worked for him. Great dude. Anyway, he was friends with all these, like the punk rocker kid, like seniors and juniors, the upperclassmen. And that's who he got dressed up with those dudes, and they all went as the full, all four or five. I can't remember. I think there was four. I can't remember the details, but I mean, like, dude, they really had it down. I mean, like, the whole spiel, the makeup, they had the right hats. Like, it's like three of them, I think, were in bowler hats. No, two in bowler hats, including Alex. One guy in a beret. And one guy was wearing a different kind of cap. And they had it. They had the right. They didn't all try to be Alex. The one dude carried a cane that was supposed to be carrying a cane the whole bit. It was cool. It was really cool. That night, too, went out with one of the kids I was out with, private school kid from Loyola, that was buddies with a buddy of mine that I was middle school with, dressed up as a wizard, like a magician. Like the magician you see on stage, the cape and the top hat. He jumped up on a car. That's the kind of shenanigans we were doing. Anyway, so we're just hanging out. We're just walking around. Occasionally we'd go like trick-or-treat and try to get candy. Especially when the ones were like, just take one from a bowl. And here's another weird side. I've done that where I've stuck a bowl and I wrote, please take one, thinking, ah, you're going to take it. Every time I've done that, I've come home and it was full. I was like, wait, one person. Because I had friends of mine, like the greedy types, that would like pour the whole thing into their sack. I'm like, what are you doing, man? I was never that guy. Maybe I wouldn't take just one. Maybe I'd take two. But I'm not like a bowl emptier. And if your parents are with, like, that's the worst. Don't be that guy. Very few people are that guy, but they do exist. Anyway, everything's going swimmingly. And we're just up to no good. But mild no good. We're up to nothing. Actually is what it is. We're not up to no good. We're not up to good. We're aimlessly walking around looking at little kids trick-or-treating. And of course, I didn't realize it at the time, menacing the parents. Because when you have a little kid and you're around older kids, and when I say that, I got a 2- and 3-year-old. 10-year-olds, 6, up to about 7 or 8. I like having 7. The other day, a 4- to 8-year-old, probably closer to 8, was trying to teach my kid how to swing properly on the swing set. That's awesome. It's like heartwarming. They play together all nice. At about 10, 10-year-olds through like 12, because above 12 or 13, they're not coming. If they're coming to the playground, they're on their phone, or they're just like, they're not engaging. The playground equipment is, they're past it. But those like, say like 9 or 8 to about 12, 13 max, are running around full speed. I've never seen a collision, but it's like they're going full blast and dodging the little kids. And I'm like, sooner or later you're gonna, and in my head I'm like, you're gonna hurt somebody. Stop. Right? If you're a parent out trick or treating, and you see a group of young men idly sitting by, you know that that's trouble. And we were trouble. Not we, just my friend Bob does the following. He had brought Molotov cocktails with him. And I'm not exaggerating. It's not like code. I mean, a thing with whatever mixture of gasoline and oil, whatever it was, with a fuse. He lights it and tosses it. Now, within seconds of this happening, it felt like lights. Woo-woo. And that's why. Now, mind you, today, Bob is a nice IT guy, works for Philips. But back in the day, this dude was like Antifa. And I don't exaggerate. Well, I exaggerate that. he would have been Antifa if you could have been Antifa then, but it wasn't. He was just sort of like that. But this wasn't what this was. This was before that. This was just him being a... He just was this way. He very rebellious against what, I'm not sure. Actually, I take it back. I do know it's another podcast. But he chucks a Molotov cocktail in the middle of the street near a car. Not too close. And this is like, dude, I am telling you, I grew up in a just as safe as it can be. The only way it could get better is like Upper East Side, gated community. But the whole area, very nice, affluent, low crime, suburban near rural. Like, we weren't even really a suburb. We're like in a town, you know, 30 minutes outside the city, really. Do you know what I mean? It's not technically even like a suburb. It's past that. So those kind of things, that's why you look at the young people, you're like, oh, young people. So I understand now that I'm menacing these parents. But again, I didn't mean to. There were some times where I intentionally acted like a jerk to make some adult angry. I don't know why. I didn't know them. This is like, oh, no, I do know that. A couple times was like, we get a little loud and rambunctious, and then the guy would like, or get a dirty look. And the second I would get a dirty look at me, I was like, are you going to do that? All right, now I am going to be a jerk, because I wasn't before. I was just being me. But that's enough to, it's a coming. So, but yeah, older kids at the playground. It's so bad with the older kid thing that parents in this area will take their kids to other parks to avoid. There's this huge park. It's beautiful. It's the biggest one. It's the nicest one. It's a little bit of a pain to follow the kid around because the little kid doesn't know that he's not supposed to climb into the older kid sections, but the older kids just full blast, full tilt, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not wrong, right? But you can't have your little kid playing with 12-year-olds. Sometimes I worry with his cousins because they are 6 and 5 years older. Which especially when he gets to high school and these guys are buying him beer, it's going to be, actually I'll buy him beer. So that's not the problem. It'll probably be me end up like, they'll be drinking at my house. Anyway, well, their dad is not, would not be uptight. I could see their dad allowing them to just, especially in college, like go ahead, knock yourself out. Don't get stupid. But anyway, yeah, menacing the other parents. But that was the apogee. By the time I was in 10th grade and I could drive, see, I no longer had a desire to do that. Now, I still went and hung out that year, and that was the last time. By the time I was a junior in high school, I didn't even... I was like, I'm good. I don't need to go walk around the streets, you know, looking at people. Mind you, when I was a freshman, there was a decent amount of upperclassmen just wandering about aimlessly. A lot of that problem is with teenagers. It's not, well, there's a couple things. One is they're like, they're bad decision making and they have, you know, not fully formed brains, and they're like, their risk assessments are off, and then it's like they're drunk adults when they're sober. But that's not the entire issue there. What part of that issue is they have nowhere to go. You know, when you're in your, even in your early 20s, you can start just going to the, you and your friends want to go hang out. You just want to sit around and talk and hang, right? You got a lot of choices. You go to your apartment. You can go to the club. You can go to the bar. You can go to a restaurant during the day and just hang. I've done it where me and my buddies sat around during the day and got hammered at places that closed at 10 into my 30s. Not, you know what I'm saying? For teenagers, where I came from specifically, it wasn't like a lot of places you can go. Well, you can still go to a restaurant. Not really. Here's why. You don't have the money to buy anything. So, like, you can't go to a TGI Fridays, hop a squat on a table and hog it if there's any kind of business. They'll be probably to ask you to leave. I've never done it. I had friends that would play Keno when we turned 18, which is a foreshadowing of the kids' eventual gambling problems. But there's just nowhere to go. A lot of times, depending on, you may have a circle of friends that doesn't have a single parent that wants kids over. I had at least myself, had another buddy whose parents basically lived in the city and they had an apartment in the suburbs so they could send the kid to a good school. Asian, of course, because only Asians are that smart. Another kid whose parents kind of let you hang out a little bit in small groups. Another buddy whose parents would kind of let you hang out in the basement as long as you didn't go in the train room. I had another friend for a while that is like his mom was going to get divorced and then she didn't. So she bought a house, but then ended up moving back in with the husband and like basically told him you can have the house. Like gave the house to the kid. Oh gosh. What else? There were a few parents that allowed occasional, smaller gatherings, here and there, but not many. It's a pretty low percentage. Why? Because they know what's going to happen. They don't want to have to deal with the liability or the worry. My mom didn't care. She didn't understand the idea of liability, for one thing. She wasn't American. And she didn't have this concept of, like, I could get sued. Or the cops could come. She knew about the cops, but was like, dude, they can't do it. She's like, Nick, they can't do anything. If they come, I'll tell them to leave. They can't. They need to see you guys. Just stay in the backyard, basically. And so there's a lot of reasons why parents don't do this. Some of them, you know, don't believe in it. A lot of parents, I mean, there was one kid I played lacrosse with whose mother had been a party maniac and therefore was really tight on him because she did not want him to be a party maniac because it had negative effects on her life or whatever. I had a couple friends got caught early and were put on sort of like extended sort of prohibition-like status. I had a friend who family members were big drinkers, and eventually his mother wouldn't allow him to come to my house because the moms talk. My mom told him. Like, my mom told my friend's parents, and they asked, like, yeah, no, they drink there. I don't care. I don't stop them. And the lady was like, I can't have my kid going over there because da-da-da. My mom was like, yeah, it's your kid. And I remember complaining to her. She's like, you don't understand, Nick. When it's going to be your kid, you'll see that you would want that. I was mad at the time. This kid was pissed at the time because it was like a nexus of our social organization and he wasn't allowed to go. And I'm just not like, I'm like, oh, well, Ben can't come, so no one can. It was just like, oh, my neighbor's going hunting. Oh, this is so awesome. Full. Oh, dude. Speaking of which, I'm gonna go lift. All right. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.